Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chof Gimel, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Chof Beis Omid Beis. So yesterday's daf, which was also Chamishas above, just a little confused because we're not learning many of the daf in Bay Bayayim, but Rabbi Usha Shapiro pointed out to me that you see how very often the Daf Yoimi is in sync with the Inyan of the Yoimi, with things that are going on in the world. Chamisha Asaba'av, Kiyadua, Nesfarim Akdoshim is a day that's Mesugal for Shidduchim. People daven for Shidduchim on Chamisha Asaba'av based on the minhag that existed. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, there were 2 days. And people used to work on Shidduchim. Yesterday's daf spoke all about Shidduchim, Arbom, Yoim, Koyim, Yitzir, Savlad. Sometimes it's Vakashal, Lazavgon, Kikriyas, Yamsov, Ein Ishto, Shal, Odomeso, Eishas, Neurim, Mizbeach, Moyrdol of Dmoy. So there was a whole Amid almost of Gemara that talk about Zivugim, talk about Shidduchim, very much in sync with the Inyan HaDiyomi. But at the very end of the daf, the Gemara went back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah discussed the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyot, Melech, when exactly or how often they needed to take a haircut. So, Hatzad HaShavah Shebehem is they couldn't grow their hair too long. They couldn't have a really big chop. The question is, how often did they have to shave? The Melech, every single day. The Kohen Gadol, every Erev Shabbos. The Kohen Hedyot, every 30 days. The Gemara asked the Kasha, that if there's a halacha that a Kohen Hedyot has to cut his hair, at the very least, every 30 days, how come Bezman Hazeh, we have Kohanim, they're all Kohen Hedyots, so if we have Kohanim, how come they're not careful? A Melech we don't have today, a Kohen Gadol we don't have today, but a Kohen Hedyot we do, so why is it that a Kohen Hedyot does not have an obligation to observe this halacha, which is that he's not going to let his hair grow beyond 30 days? And to add injury to insult, the Gemara said there's another halacha that applied to Kohanim, Bizban Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, and that is that they couldn't drink. They couldn't get inebriated. They couldn't be over the limit. And the reason is, because if they were, then if they may come to do the Avodah, and if you do the Avodah as a Shtuyei Yayin, you're being Mechal the Avodah. And that's something that the Rabbanan hold as Asa Bizman Hazeh. So just like the Isser Shtuyei Yayin is Asa Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara asked the Kasha that the Isser Pruyei Rosh should be Asa Bizman Hazeh as well. So there was a whole half a Amid or so Gemara that went back and forth. And one thing that emerged from the Gemara is that there are two Psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Mem Dalet, that are adjacent to each other. One of them discusses the Isser Shtuyei Yayin, the other discusses the Isser Pruyei Rosh, and the Gemara made a hekesh. The hekesh was that Mash Shtuyei Yayin b'miso, just like a Kohen, if he was inebriated and he would do the Avodah, he would be Chayev Miso, albeit B'dishamayim. So too, a Pruyei Rosh, someone that has a big chup, he's a Kohen, and he does the Avodah, he would be Chayev Misa as well. So the Gemara picks up on that note. Amar Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, Rabbeinu told Rav Ashi, Hai, Adloi Osa Yecheskel Man Amra. We learned a very important halacha from Sefer Yecheskel. Yecheskel said, based on this hekesh, the two psukim being juxtaposed right next to each other, that just like a Kohen that does the Avodah in a state of Shtuyei Yayin is Chayev Misa, so too a Kohen that does the Avodah in a state of Purim Rosh is going to be Chayev Misa as well. Now, if it's a Pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel, presumably before Yecheskel came, we didn't know that halacha. So the Gemara's kasha is, does that make sense? Hai Adaloi Asa Yecheskel Manomer. What, Yecheskel's being Mechadish halachas? That doesn't seem reasonable. We probably knew it before Yecheskel, but if Yecheskel is the first one to teach it to us, how then did we know it? But the Gemara says, according to you, I'll tell you another halacha that we learn from Sefer Yecheskel. Hold on, Rav Chizda said, the following halacha that I'm about to reveal to you is something that's not mefurish anywhere in Teres Moshe. It's not in Bereshit Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim. Rather, who's the one who taught it to us? Yecheskel. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, also Perek Mem Dalet, Kol Ben Nechar Oro Lev Oro Basar Layavai El Mikdash. We learn from there that a Kohen who's an Oral, a Kohen who did not have a Bris Milah, and by the way, when you say that the Kohen is Oral, doesn't mean that he blatantly violated the second mitzvah in the Torah. It could be he didn't have Bris Milah because his brothers died Machmas Milah, and as a result, it's a sakana for him. He's not allowed to have a Bris Milah. But the bottom line is, if a Kohen is an Oral, Vayavay El Mikdashi L'Sharseni, he's not allowed to do the Avodah. And that too is a Pasuk in Yecheskel. So Rav Chizda said, Adloi Bo Yecheskel Man Amra. Had we know this, it's a very important halacha. Had we know the halacha before Yecheskel came, Ella, it must be Gemara, Gemiri law. We probably had a tradition, we probably had a Mesoira of this halacha, va'asa yecheskel va'asmecha akra. Meaning, we know that the Torah is really made up of two parts. There's Torah shebiksav and there's Torah shebapeh. Torah shebapeh are dine Torah, dine de'oraisa, that by definition were transmitted orally. They're not mefurish anywhere in the Torah. This halacha that's learned out from Yecheskel, that kol ben necher oral leva oral baser lo yavei al mikdashu l'sharseni, must have been a halacha that we knew before Yecheskel came. Had we know it, it was transmitted orally. We had a Messiah. It was Torah Shavah Pesach. Everybody knew the halacha. All Yecheskel really did was he created a pasuk. He retrofitted a pasuk, so that now it's not just Torah Shavapeh, there's an element of Torah Shebiksav as well. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, we must say the same thing with regards to this idea that Pure Roish Achayim Misa B'dei Shamayim, that Gemara Gmirla, we had a Messiah that it was the case. Yecheskel wasn't the one that was Mechadish it, but rather all he did was Va'asa Yecheskel, Va'as Mecha Akra. Says the Gemara, going back to the Pasuk in the Yecheskel, that talks about the iser for a kohen had to grow his hair too long. Says the Gemara, "My kosam yichsemu esrashayim." So the literal meaning is that he should trim his hair. What does it mean? He should trim his hair. Tana kemin taspeiros lulain is. So Bryce said that this pasuk in Yecheskel is referring to a very specific type of haircut. The kohen had was supposed to get the lulainus haircut. My tespiras lulainus, Amrav Yehuda Mashmul, tespiras yechida. I'm getting a little bit closer. We still don't know what it is. Rashi says, no, it's a really nice look. The Indug Masa, it's unique. There's nothing like it. So the Kohen had a very unique hairstyle. Hechidami, Amrav Ashi, Roishoy Shalzeh, Bitzat Ikroy Shalzeh. What it means is that the head, the top of one of the hairs, would be right next to the root of the next hair. So no two hairs were touching each other. So try to visualize that. But no two hairs are touching each other. This is a very unique type of hairdo. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, Kosam yichsemu es roshe. But this here, it's just roshe shalzeh, but it's not ikre shalzeh. Shalu es Rebbe. They asked Rebbe, Ezo tespoir shal kohen gadol. Is there any, can you draw a picture of the tespiris of the Kohen Gadol, the haircut that the Kohen Gadol used to have? Amalem, he told him, Tzur Umi tespiris of Ben Elasha. Go take a look at Ben Elasha's haircut. Look at his hairstyle. That's the way the Kohen Gadol. Ben Elasha, Rashi says, was Rebbe's son-in-law. He was also very wealthy. Rebbe Kiyadula was very wealthy. He was wealthy and he spent a lot of money to have somebody teach him and actually experiment on him what exactly this haircut looked like. Tanya Rebbe Yomer Le'achina Pisa Ben Elasha Esma Isav, another brisa that says the same thing, that Rebbe once said that, you know, Ben Elasha spent a lot of money to have a certain haircut. You think he just did it? Avek kevar fin agelt? Lo'ilich al'china pisa ben alash esma'isav elokidei laharis by tespoiris shal Kohen Gadol. The reason he did it was because he wanted to show the world what the tespoiris of the Kohen Gadol was. So just before we begin the third perek, a really festive perek in Shas, perek Zebayr, just one ha'ara regarding this last Gemara. So we had over here a halacha that was learned out from Sefer Yecheskel. The Gemara asked the Kasha, "Hi, Adlo Yosef Yecheskel man Adra. Can't be Yecheskel was the first one to tell us this halacha. So until Yecheskel came, if we didn't have the pasuk in Yecheskel, how did we know it?" Says the Gemara that it's not a Kasha, because Avada, even though we learned it from Sefer Yecheskel, we knew the halacha before Yecheskel came around. We had a Messiah, we had a tradition. It was a part of the Torah Shebal Peh. All Yecheskel really did was he created an asmachta. He wrote a pasuk in his Sefer Yecheskel, which is an asmachta. It's a remez of some sorts to this halacha. But of course, Yecheskel was not the Mechadish, and what emerged was two halachas in Sefer Yecheskel that really we knew before Yecheskel. All Yecheskel really did was create the asmachta. There's Gemara Mesechtes Nedarim, Dav Chav Beis Amid Beis. Omer Avad Reb Chanina, El Moli Chatu Yisrael. Were not for the fact that the Yidden sinned, said the Yidden not done Averis. Had they gone into Eretz Yisrael, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu would have led them into Eretz Yisrael, they would have built a Beis HaMikdash. Had they not done Averis, had there been no Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, had there been no sin as Chinam, had the Yidden not sinned, we would never have had any additional Sifrei Tanakh. We would have had Bereish, Shmoyitz, Vayikra, Vamidbar, Dvarim, and Sefer Yeshua. Sefer Yeshua we need simply because it tells us how exactly to divide the land. But other than that, we would have never gotten. Why? My time, Kibir Rav Chachma, Rav Kas. And the Rishonim explained that the majority The majority of Sifrei Nach is the Nevi'im either giving Musar to the Yidin, Chazon Yeshayo, or giving Nachamu, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. That is the majority of the Nevi'im. So if the Yidin would have never sinned, you wouldn't need Chazon Yeshayo, and at the same time, you wouldn't need Nachamu, Nachamu. So all the Nevi'im that we have, Yirmiyo, Yecheskel, everything, we only have because of the fact that we sin. But Umale Chatu Yisrael, Loinitan Melech HaMishachum Sheitayr, Vesefi Yisho Bevat Freik, the Maritz Chiyos, right here on this Gemara in Darm Chav Beis on the days. Is that true? The whole Sifrei Nach is just one big Musar Shavuos. There are many halachas that we learn out from Nevi'im Uksuvim. We learn Hilchas Avelos from Yecheskel. We learn Hilchas Tefillah from Chana and Eli. There's many important halachas that we learn out from Nevi'im Uksuvim. So Freik, the Maritz Chiyos, how could the Gemara say Umali Chot Yisrael Nitan LeMelech HaMishachum Sheitayr V'Sei V'Yishol Bovad? It's not true. We would need the parts of Nevi'im Uksuvim that relate to halacha, because otherwise, how would we know the halacha? Says the Maritz Chiyos. You know what the answer is? Sanhedrin Chav Beis Amud Beis. And it's also Gemara Tainis stuff. Yudzayin, it's a Gemara in other places in Shas as well. But this Gemara that we just learned is the Teretz. It's Pashut that even though there are halachas that are learned out from Nevi'im Uksuvim, those respective Nevi'im were not the Mechadesh of those Psukim. Like the Gemara asks the Kasha, Hai Adelo Yossi Yecheskel Man Omru. Of course we knew these halachas before Yecheskel came. All the Nevi'im did, whether it's Yecheskel or Shmuel, it doesn't matter who, they were just creating an asmachta for a halacha that had been otherwise transmitted orally. But certainly they weren't mechadish anything. So would we know Hilchas Avelis had it not been Sefer Yecheskel? Of course we would. Would we know Hilchas Tefillah without Shmuel Aleph? Of course we would. Those psukim serve as a written source, a slash, a smachta, for something that we would have anyways known. Thus, of course, by there not being Nevi'im Uksuvim, we would not have lost that on any halach. Why then do we have the Nevi'im Uksuvim? It was because of the Musar. Yeah, but Derech Agav, there's some halachas that we learn out. But it's all because of the Musar, and that's why the Gemara could say, Omole Chatu Yisrael, Loinitan Lehem El Chamishay Chum Shei Torah, V'Sefer Yeshua B'Vat. That's the first order. The second order is that I saw in the Margolis Ayam, so he has a little bit of a digression, with regards to the idea of asmachta, the concept of asmachta. Now, we have in our Gemara asmach in the context of Sifrei Nevi'im, Yecheskel. Yecheskel was the one that was asmacha akrop. But the truth is, there's many Gemaras in Shas where the Gemara derives halachis through this vehicle known as asmachta, not based on psukim in Nevi'im, but based on psukim in the Torah. You have asmachtas in the Torah. So what's the concept of an asmachta? The Gemara will bring a halacha, learn the halacha from a pasuk, but for whatever reason, this halacha is not a din d'oraisa. It's only a din d'rabbanan. Shtal tzich defraga, if it's a din, if it's learned out from a pasuk, how can only be a d'rabbanan? Isn't something that's learned out from a pasuk by definition a din d'oraisa? So the Gemara says, no, really it's a din d'rabbanan. The pasuk asmachta ba'almehi. So this is something that we've seen many, 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 many times. So he has a little bit of a digression here with regards to how you understand asmachta. And the first Maramokim that he quotes is a Ritva Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. This is often quoted, it's a well-known Ritva, where the Ritva brings that he saw people make a horrible mistake in terms of how you're supposed to understand an asmachta. And that is that he said, that he heard some say, that the gedder of an asmachta is that really the Torah never intended to say the halacha that the Gemara is learning from the pasuk via asmachta. Because had the Torah intended to tell me this halacha, it wouldn't be a din derabbanan. It would be by definition a din d'oraisa. Really, then the Torah had no intention to ever say this halacha. The halacha is a din derabbanan. But the Chachamim, however, they found some cute, almost remez, and asmachta to the idea in the Torah. And it's for that reason they were asmecha akra. But if you want to know what the kavana of the Torah was to teach this halacha, no. Because if the kavana of the Torah was to teach this halacha, then it wouldn't be a din derabbanan. It would really be a din d'oraisa. So says Ritva, he's heard people say that. But he says, those people are minim. They're apikorsim. And chas v'sholim yishtaka hadavar v'lo yeyomer shizu das minusu. No way in the world. Says Ritva, so what then is an asmachta? When the Torah, when the Chachamim darshan, or asmachta, the way you have to understand it is that really the Torah did have in mind to teach me this halacha. If the Torah had in mind to teach me this halacha, then by definition it should be the din d'oraisa. Says the Ritva, the Rabbanan understood that certain psukim, the Torah was telling us, b'loshen chayva, you have to do it. And then there are certain drushes that are there, They're clearly telling us that this is a Dover Chashav, it's important, but not Balashon Chayva. And it's almost like they're talking to the Rabbana, they're talking to Chazal, they're talking to the rabbis. And they're telling them, listen, I'm going to give you an insight. This is an idea that really could be us. We're not answering it. If someone violates it, he's not over in the Sedei Raisa. It's not something that you do have to do or you don't have to do. But at the same time, it's a Toiva Kamash Malan, that there's an interesting concept, something that if you feel necessary to implement, you should go ahead and implement it. So is the Torah the one that's talking? Yes, certainly. This is not just some remez that the Rabbanon are working backwards and they're somehow coming up with. There's no question that the Torah is talking when you have an asmachta. And the Torah is telling you this halacha. What then differentiates between a regular din d'oraisa and an asmachta? A din d'oraisa is a chayva, you have to do it. An asmachta is just a gilo. It's an insight for something that's chashav, but it's not necessarily something that you have to do. So those are the two tzadim of the Ritva, v'advarim you do it. But I'll tell you something that's not so you do. And that is that Rabbi Yosef Engel, in a Sefer, Beis Oitzer, brings from the Likutei Maharil, that the Likutei Maharil said, he says that whenever you find an asmachta, was the Torah telling you this halacha? No. Like the tzad that the Ritva brings and he refers to as minus. There's nothing to talk about. The Torah is not telling you this halacha. Because if the Torah was telling it to you, it would be a din d'oraisa. An asmachta is something that's inherently a din d'rabbanan. So if it's a din d'rabbanan, there is no pasuk in the Torah that says it. Because if there's a pasuk in the Torah that says it, it wouldn't be a din d'rabbanan. It's an inherent contradiction. It can't be. What then is the concept of an asmachta? The Rabbanan on their own made believe, listen to this, made believe that it's a din d'oraisa. They created a pasuk to make it look like it's a din d'oraisa. And why would they have done that? The reason they did that was because they felt that if the people, the hamoinam, would think that it's a din d'rabbanan, they wouldn't take it seriously. So they tried fooling the tzibur. They wanted the tzibur to think that it's a din d'oraisa. So they created a pasuk for it. Thus the asmachta. But you want to know if it's a din d'oraisa? No, it's not a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'rabbanan. Where does the pasuk get involved? Nowhere. This is all make-believe. Why are we doing it? We're doing it to fool the tzibur. Because we want the tzibur to think it's a din d'oraisa. When in fact, really, it's a din d'rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Engel brings this in Beis Oitzer, and he says, and I quote, "V'lo ya'amin klal sheyotzu mipi kodesh ha-maril zah." Says it's quoted in the Likutei Maharil, and I do not believe the Maharil ever said that. And then he says, you should just know, as an FYI, ke alikutin hanal, the Likutei Maharil were not written by the Maharil. Maharil himself did not write the Likutei Maharil, but rather one of his Talmidim, who observed different things that the Maharil did and different things that the Maharil said, he sat down and he compiled what he called his Likutei Maharil. But the Maharil himself didn't write it. Zok Rabbi Yosef Engel, I don't know who this Talmud was, but he must have made a mistake. Because I do not believe that the Maharil would have ever said something like that. That the Geder of an Asmachta is a regular Din d'Rabbanan that has no shaykhis to the Pasuk that's being quoted in the Gemara. And the whole purpose of the Pasuk is to make it look like it's a Deraisa, so that people should treat it like a Deraisa and shouldn't treat it like a Rabbanan. V'loi a'amin klal sheyotzu mipi kodesh. So says Rabbi Reuven Margolis, I'm going to tell you something very, very interesting. I'll tell you something very interesting. You know, there's a sefer called Maiserav. We quote from the Maiserav a lot. What's the Maiserav? So it's Likutim from different Hanhogos of the Vilna Goy. So after the Vilna Goy was Nifter, one of his Talmidim sat down and he compiled a lot of different customs of Maron, the Vilna Goyen, and he wrote what's called the Maiserav. And the Maiserav is fascinating. There's a lot of halacha mentioned in the Maiserav. It's very much like a Shulchan Aruch, like a Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. But there's a lot of Marganisa Tavis tucked away in the Sefer Maaser Rav. Before the Maaser Rav was written, so the Talmud that wrote it sent a letter to Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin was the Talmud Muvik with the Hey Ayudia of the Vilna Gaon. And he asked Reb Chaim Volozhin whether Reb Chaim Volozhin thought it was a good idea to write the Maaser Rav, number one. Number two, he asked him to, you know, go through his manuscript. Before he prints it, he wants to ask him, do you have any edits, any ha'aras? Is there anything that I got wrong? So he talks about it. So one of the things he says is that, he says, I didn't find anything to be inaccurate. Meaning, there's nothing you wrote that I found to be inaccurate, although you did mention things that I never saw, but just because I didn't see it doesn't mean it never happened. But, you know, in terms of the accuracy of the things that I am familiar with, I didn't see any inaccuracies with the exception of two. Two dikdukim. The one that's of note is that in the Maaser Rav, they bring that the Vilna Gaon by Parsha Zohar was makbet to say Timcha Ezecher Amalek. Zecher, not Zecher Amalek, but Timcha as Zecher. This is what he writes. Vasher Kosav Likri beParsha Zocher Zecher B'Sheish Nekuda. It's right, six pintalach, two segals. Ani shamati mipek kodesh. I heard the Vilna Gaon read Parsha Zocher. Shekorah B'Chomish Nekudais. He didn't say Zecher with five, six pintalach. He said Zecher. Two and three with five. For lo yodati, he says, I'm not sure. Im hashemim shamu v'to loyim v'cheish nekudos. That this that you have that people said they heard the Vilna Gaon say six. Maybe they made a mistake because I'm telling you I heard zecher. Or ulai b'zeknus echazabai. Or it could be later in life the Vilna Gaon was chayzer. Yachke no lamay b'zal emes. He says, I'm just telling you. Heads up, you should look into it a little bit deeper because at first glance, what you wrote doesn't stem with what I observe. So that's the only real horror that he has. But in the beginning, listen to what he says. He says that the truth is already precedent for someone to sit down and write likutim about a tzaddik yisoid oilam so that people should be able to learn from his hanagas. Kichein nispashtu v'nitvesu hanagas maril. Says, this is a likutei maril. And the likutei maril is to the Maril, what the Meiser Rav is to the Vilna Gaon. It's the same concept. And then listen to Reb Chaim Volozhin writes, B'lashoyne Hazav. This is in his haskama, in his approbation to the Meiser Rav. Kichei nispashtu v'nitfesu hanogas Maril al yidei shamish katon. So I don't know what he means, Shamish Katan. It means he was younger than Bar Mitzvah. It means he was just Katan spiritually. Probably doesn't mean that he was short. So what does it mean, Al-Yidei Shamish Katan? So it's interesting that Reb Chaim Volozhin would say that. So it says, the Margolis Hayam, you know what he means? He means what Reb Yosef Engel said. He said, because there are things in the Likutei Maril that are inaccurate. And because there are things that are inaccurate, it's clear that whoever wrote it was a Shamish Katan. To say that the Maril held that the Gedder of an Asmacht is a regular Dinde Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan made believe it was a Dinde Raisa, they lied, they made believe it was the right, so to fool people? You're fooling them? So they should think it's really more chumah than it is? It says, could be even Baal Taisiv. That's not a Pashta thing at all. That's what Chaim Volozhin meant. It was written on Yedei Shamish Katan. Why is this interesting? Because we just spoke out a fascinating idea from the Likutei Maril. And that is the Likutei Maril. It says, the Rabbeinu Tam used to learn a Shveres Sugya. He would bring a tail shell. So when somebody told me he researched it, that Rabbeinu Tam was Torah V'Gdula B'Malka Mechad. He was also a big gazir. So he would bring a tail shell Zehuvim. He would put it on his desk because it made him feel better. He felt good when he saw his wealth. And that's how he was able to learn his Shveres Sugya. Very big Kiddush. It comes from the Likutei Maril. But now we're questioning the authenticity of the Likutei Maril. We're questioning who exactly this author was. Reb Chaim Volozhin seems to refer to him as a Shamish Katan. Reb Yosef Engel says that he clearly made mistakes. So you have to know, or be careful at least before you say that over. Regardless, on that note, Hadron Aloch, Perek Koyen Gadol, and we begin one of the most festive prokem in Shas, Perek Zeh Boirer. Mishnah, not as hard as some of the other festa, brachim, and chas that we've learned over the last few years. Dinei mominis b'shloisha. So we return to the first halacha of the first Mishnah of the Masechta, and that is dinei mominis b'shloisha. So just in case you want to have a big picture recap. So the first Mishnah took us through the first amid. It was a very long Mishnah. What type of dinim require? Three dayanim, when you need five, seven maybe, 23, 71. And then we had a whole parak that discussed in somewhat detail what the makairis are. How you know that egla rufa requires X amount of dinim, dinim nefashis requires this, and all the different halachas, Navi Sheker and Kohen Gadol. We mentioned Kohen Gadol requiring a bezin shel ayin aleph. So we digress, we had a whole parak Kohen Gadol, and now we return. We go away from our digression and we return to the very first halacha. We're going to analyze it now. The very first halacha of Dinei Mominus Peshleisha. So, Bezdin of Dinei Mominus was made up of three dayanim. Says the Mishnah, Ze Boir Lo Yechod, Ze Boir Lo Yechod, Ve Shneim Boir Lam Oid Echad. So we'll see what this means in the Gemara. Divir Amit. Chachamim Oirin, the Chachamim say, Shnei Dayanim Boirin Lohem Oid Echad. Again, we'll see in the Gemara. Ze Poisel Dayanim Shal Ze, Ze Poisel Dayanim Shal Ze, Divir Rameir. Rameir says that if one of the two Bali Dinim has a dayan that he wants should preside over this court case that he has with his this other person, so if one of the Bali Dinim wanted to disqualify him, they could. The Chachamim say, you can't just go and frivolously pass on somebody else's dying. If you have a raya that is a carver or apostle, then you can do it. If somebody comes to Bezdin and he has Edim, the other person could say, that Ed is apostle. The Chachamim say, you can't just recklessly pass on somebody's Ed. And we will go through this entire Mishnah in very great detail. Everything will make sense, hopefully, by the end of the daf. Zok digemar. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was, Dine Mominus Bishleisha, how do you come to three? Ze Boyer Lo Yechod, Ze Boyer Lo Yechod, the Shneem Boyer Lim Oydechod, Divir Rameir, the Chachomim said, Shnei Dayonim Boyer Lim Oydechod. My Ze Boyer Lo Yechod, Ze Boyer Lo Yechod. Bitlos Osagi. So the way the Gemara in the Havamino understands the Mishnah is Ze Boyer Lo Yechod means that if you have two Bali Dina, Ruven and Shimon, there's a court case. Incidentally, what did the Gemara say right in the beginning of the Masechta is the definition of Dine Mominus? Hoidois Valvois. Right? Dine Mominus doesn't mean all Dine Mominus, because a lot of the other Dine Mominus were mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, Xelus Vichavolois, etc. So what did Dine Mominus mean? It means Hoidois Valvois. So let's pick Valvois. That's the easier case. Reuven loaned money to Shimon, and now there's a dispute. So Bezdin's going to have to preside over the dispute. How many dayanim is this Bezdin going to be made up of? Three. That was the first halach of the Mishnah. But what does our Mishnah seem to be saying? Ze Boyer Lo Yechod, the Malva picks a Bezdin. What's the definition of a Bezdin? Three. Ve'ze Boyer Lo Yechod, and the Loiva picks a Bezdin, and then we figure out how you pick the third Bezdin. Rameyer says the two together, the Malva and the Loiva, together picked the third Bezdin. The Chachamim said the two Batei Dinim together picked the third Bezdin. But the Gemara's kash is, what do you need nine Dayanim for? If the way you understand Zeh Bar Leyecha means a Bezdin, Vezeh Bar Leyecha means a Bezdin, Vishnei Bar Leyecha is a third Bezdin, Betlasa Sagi, you don't need nine, three should be enough. So the Gemara says, Hochi Kamar. This is the way you have to read the Mishnah. Kishezeh Boyer Lo Yechad, not Zeh Boyer Lo Yechad, but rather, Kishezeh Boyer Lo Yechad, Vizeh Boyer Lo Bezdin Echad, Shneim Boyer Lo Moed Echad. What it means is that if the Malva picked the Bezdin and the Leva says, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, he has a right to do that. And then if the Leva picks the Bezdin and the Malva tells the Leva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, the Malva has a right to do that as well. Until they finally get together and they agree to pick a Bezdin. And so really, you don't need nine. What you need is three. And it's not Zeh Boyer Lo. You pick, we'll pick together, and like this will happen. There's no reason for that. All you need is three. It's Kishezeh. If one of the Bali Din of the Malva picks a Bezdin and the Leva knocks it down, then it's knocked down. Then you keep on going. And if the Leva picks and the Malva knocks it down, you keep on going. Until finally, we could agree. How do you finally agree? According to Rav Meir, they two Bali Dinim, the Malva and the Leva, have to get together. They have to agree. Shneihem Boyerlem. And according to the Chachamim, the Dayanim themselves are the ones that pick the third Bezdin. Well, we'll discuss that. But the point is, it's not Likatchilo that you need nine. Likatchilo you need three. Why then is the Mishnah seem to be saying that a classic Dinim moment is going to end up with nine Dayanim? It's just in the event that one of the Bali Dinim are not comfortable with the Bezdin that the other Bali Dinim wants. So Kishezeh, if one picks it and he doesn't like it, and the other one picks it and he doesn't like it, the point of the Mishnah is just to say that everyone has to be in agreement. You can't force someone to go to a Bezdin that he's not comfortable going to. At the end of the day, there has to be some kind of agreement. Who's going to make the agreement? Either the Bali Dinim are going to agree or the Dayanim are going to agree, but there has to be some mutual consent in order to go ahead and paskin dine mamonis, says the Gemara. But if that's the case, it sounds like va'afilu loiva matzimakit. It sounds like each baldin has a right to say that I don't want to go to your bezin. Kishezeh boyer loiva, zeh boyer loiva. Each one can refuse. Meaning, in the case of halvois, say the malva could say I don't want to go to the loiva's bezin, and say the loiva could say that I don't want to go to the malva's bezin. Now, the fact that the malva doesn't have to go to the loiva's bezin, that makes a lot of sense. But the Gemara says that the loiva should have a right to tell the malva I don't want to go to the malva's bezin. From Rabbi Loza said, loishanu ela malva alva loiva koifin oisei v'dam be'iroi. In the context is a Gemara later, and it's a very similar context. They're discussing over there with the Malva and the Leiva trying to figure out which Bezdin to go to, and the Malva tells the Leiva that I want to go to a Bezdin in a different city, or the Leiva tells the Malva I want to go to a Bezdin in a different city. So there are times we have a a right to do that. At times we don't have a right to do that. But the point is, what the Gemara says is that the Leiva never has a right to say that I want to go to another city. And the reason the Leiva never has a right to say that I want to go to another city is because Eved Leiva Leishmalva. So he's not considered someone that has real rights in this discussion. He's the Leiva, Yodel Atachtaino, Eved Leiva Leishmalva. So the Gemara's kasha is that just like the Leiva is Koifen Oisei Vedan Be'ira, he doesn't have a right to tell the Malva, I want to go to a Bezdin in another city, then how come in our Mishnah does the Loiva have a right to knock out the Malva's Bezdin? Now you can ask me, what Shaychus? Knocking out the Malva's Bezdin doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go to another city. What Rabbi Loza said was, Loiva koifen oisei v'don bi'ira. He's being very specific. He wants to go to another city. Where in our Mishnah do you see that he can go to another? So the Rishonim explained, because back in the day, not every city had more than one Bezdin. Usually a city had one Bezdin. So if a city had one Bezdin, and you're telling me now that I can knock out your Bezdin, then by definition, I'm taking you to another city. Rabbi Loza already said, Loiva koifen oisei v'don bi'ira. Because Eved Loiva lish Malva, says the Gemara, Kedom Rabbi Yechanan bar Koysha b'sur Yeshanu. Rabbi Yechanan said to answer another kasha, unrelated to this Gemara, that even though it sounds at first glance like the sugi is talking about regular dayanim, really it's not talking about regular dayanim. It's talking about one of their kois in Syria. Hachanami bar kois shebesurya shanu. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that enachinami, if we were dealing with a regular bezdin, the leiva would have no right to tell the malva, I don't want to go to your bezdin. Because the Leiva doesn't have a right to shlap the Malva to another city. That's a Gemara later. Eved Leiva l'shmalva. He can't do it. So he wouldn't be able to tell the Malva that I don't want to go to your Bezdin. Hacha b'maya skinon, where the Malva did not pick a regular, ordinary Bezdin. He didn't pick a Bezdin of Dayana Mumchen. He picked a Bezdin that was like the courthouses in Syria. Now, the courthouses in Syria apparently were Jewish courthouses, but at the same time, they didn't really follow Dinei Torah. So being that they didn't really follow Dinei Torah, so over there, the Loiva would have a right to say that I'm not comfortable going to Erkoish of Assyria. I feel I'll be Dinei Torah, I'll be Chesh Mishpat, I have a good case over here. So I want to go to a Bezdin that I'm confident is going to follow Mishpat HaTorah. You want to take me to the Erkoish of Assyria? I'm not comfortable going to the Erkoish of Assyria. So to tell the Malva that I don't want to go to a regular Bezdin of the Yonah Mokhu, that's something he doesn't have a right to do. That's what Rabbi Loza said, that Eva Loiva Lish Malva, Loiva Koifin Oisev Adam Be'ira. This, that in our Mishnah, the way the Gemara is understanding it right now, which is the Malva can tell the Loiva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin. The Loiva can tell the Malva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin. Isn't the Loiva telling the Malva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, essentially the Leiva telling the Malva, I want to go to another city? Because there's one Bezdin in the city. And I thought the Leiva can never tell the Malva, I want to go to another city. The Teretz is, it's true. The Leiva can't tell the Malva, I want to go to another city if the Bezdin that the Malva picked is a regular upstanding Bezdin. But if the Bezdin that he picked is similar to the Arkosh of Assyria, then he does have a right. But the Gemara says, Rapapa said a different Teretz. Afilu Tema Mumchin could be our Mishnah is not talking about where the Malva picked Erkoish of Assyria, and it's not only for that reason that the Leiva has a right to tell him, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, but it could be our Mishnah is talking about Kigoyin, Beidina de Rav Huna de Rav Chizda, a Bezdin such as Rav Huna's Bezdin and Rav Chizda's Bezdin. Rashi says, what was unique about their Bezdin? What was unique was is that it was B'mokam Echa. The two Batidinim were in the same city. They were in close proximity to each other. The Karmalei, in that case, the Leiva could certainly tell the Malva, Mikom Atrachnalan. It's true there's a sugya later where the Leiva cannot force the Malva. That's to go to another city. The Gemara assumed one Bezdin per city. So if the Leiva is telling the Malva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, he's probably telling him, I want to go to another city. The Leiva doesn't have a right to do that. Says the Gemara, no. We're talking about with the two, but they did, and we're in the same city. So the Malva wants to go to Rav Huna's Bezdin, and the Leiva says, I don't want to go to Rav Huna's Bezdin, I want to go to Rav Chizda's Bezdin, or something of that nature. Kigoyin Beidina, the Rav Huna, the Rav Chizda. In that case, he's not being matriachim. There's no reason the Leiva should not have a vote. Either way, so the Gemara's initial understanding of the first halacha of the Mishnah. Zabar le'echad, zabar le'echad. What does echad mean? One bezdin. The Malva picks the bezdin, the Leiva picks the bezdin, then we figure out how to get the third bezdin. Gemara's kasha, what do you need three batidinim for? You don't need three times three, which is nine dayanim. All you need is three dayanim. So Gemara says, you're right. Don't read the Mishnah zeh v'zeh, but rather kishazeh. Kishazeh bar le'echad, v'zeh bar le'echad, shneim. And the punchline then of the Mishnah is that each person has a right to knock out the other person's bezdin. Ta-da! Now let's take a closer look at our Mishnah. The Chachamim said, shnei dayanim bar le'moidechad. Rameir said, how do you pick the third bezdin? The Malva and the Leiva have to agree. The Chachamim said, how do you pick the third bezdin? The two sets of Dayanim are the ones that pick the third Bezdin. But if Pshat in the Mishnah is the way we're reading it now, which is that we're talking about bati dinim that were knocked out. The Malvas is not comfortable with the Loivas Bezdin. The Loivas is not comfortable with the Malvas Bezdin. So Bezdin, Basa, the Pasul, Azu, Baradu, Bedin, Achrin, how do you understand the Chum and Shita? Why would these two Bati Dinim that were just disqualified be the ones that picked the third Bezdin? It just doesn't make any sense. How do you understand the Pashat Havana in such a loch? That after the Malva tells the Loiva, I don't like your Bezdin, I think your Bezdin's on your payroll. I'm not comfortable with them. And the Loiva tells the Malva the same exact thing. So who should pick the third Bezdin? The two suspect Bate Dinim, they should be the ones that pick the third Bezin. But oi, additionally, read the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say Kish Zeb Bayer Layachad, Vizeb Bayer Layachad. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says Zeb Bayer Layachad, Vizeb Bayer Layachad. Elo says the Gemara Hachikam, you need the Bach here. Zeb Bayer Lay Dayan Echad, Vizeb Bayer Lay Dayan Echad. What does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah doesn't mean that you pick a Bezin, I don't like it, and I'll pick a bezin. You don't like it, we'll pick a third bezin. No, no. We're talking about DNA mamidus b'shleisha. A bezin was made up of three dayanim. How do you get the three dayanim? Where did the three dayanim come from? You know what the answer is? You know where the three dayanim came from? The malva picks one dayan, the loiva picks a second dayan, and then there's machloikis, Ramey and the chacham. Now you pick the third dayan. According to Ramey, how do you pick the third dayan? The two bali dinim together, the malva and the loiva pick the third dayan. According to the chachamim, the two dayanim themselves pick the third dayan. Says the Gemara, Maishan Davdi Hachi, what's the point of doing it this way? Amri b'marava, Mishmei de Rabzera, Mitoch Shezeh Bar Loi Dayan Echad, Vezeh Bar Loi Dayan Echad, if each person is going to pick a dayan, Vishnei and Bar Loi Echad, and the two together, the two dayanim are going to pick the third dayan, Yetzei Hadin La'amitai. By doing that, we're pretty comfortable that we're going to end up coming up with the real din. What? What's the point? Rashi says, and what if one person picks all three dayanim, then we're chayshe that maybe you're not going to have the right din? Says Rashi, it doesn't mean there's a better chance of getting it right this way. But what it means is that tzayse balidinim, the chances of being able to enforce it are much better. Everyone's going to walk away with a good feeling because, says Rashi, the sover hachayiv, it's g'day to see the Rashi inside, and hare ani ba'atzmi birarti yo'echot, v'm hayo yochel lahapich b'schusi, So says Rashi, you know why this is a good idea? Because like this, no Baldin is going to walk out of court and say, you know why I lost? Because this Bezdin has some sort of relationship with the other guy, and that's why I ended up losing it. No. You picked the Dayan, and he picked the Dayan, and together we picked the third Dayan, or the two Dayanah picked the third Dayan. And like this, everyone's going to feel good about it. So Yetzi Adin Lamita, in the sense that it'll be A, more enforceable, and B, people, they're going to be more comfortable. That's a good thing. You want everybody to walk out of Bezdin feeling good. You want people to feel like the right halacha was said. So Lahoitzi Miliban Shal Tzedaykin, this was the right way of doing it. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi's a little bit misleading. Rashi says that if each Baal Din picks a Dayan, he's going to have a good feeling. The sover, hare ani ba'atzmi birarti yo'echad. I picked my dayan. V'mhoye yochel ha'apich b'schusi hoye ma'apich. And if there was something positive that he could have came up with to help my case, he probably would have came up with it. It sounds almost as if each dayan is representing one of the two balidinim. So the malva picks a dayan, and his job is to look out for the malva. And then the loiva picks a dayan, and his job is to look out for the loiva, and then together, I mean, it sounds like corruption 101. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Each dayan is supposed to do the same thing. They're supposed to try to be mechaven to the emes. They're supposed to come up with the real pshat. If you take a look at the Rosh right here, it's in Siman Beis, says the Rosh. I'll just read to you the beginning. B'pnei sheyesh chaserei das. I've seen people that are literally lacking common sense. Talmid b'divrei Rashi. They read this Rashi and they made a mistake. V'lemeidah mimenu, they took out a Rashi even more than what we just said. Shahadayin yeshloi lahapech b'schus oisei shebirei v'oimei b'mkoimei lachapech b'dvar mashloikadin. That each dayin has a job to represent one of the Balidinim. I work for you, you work for him, and then there's somebody who works for both of us. Says the Rosh, chas v'sholom, to think that that's not what Rashi meant to say. It is a little misleading, but it's not what Rashi meant to say. Rashi just meant to say that people are going to think that. We're addressing Liban Shal Tzedekin, but of course, that's not chalila the way it's supposed to work. Either way, Zok Gemara b'Silvayt v'Chomim Moimrin Name of the Rabbi Damar Rav Komifligi. So we have here Machloikis. How you pick the third dayan? So we just established what Pshat in the Mishnah is. Zeh Bar Layechad means the Malva picks one dayan. Zeh Bar Layechad means the Loiva picks a second dayan. V'Shneim Boyer and Lehem Oidechad means together the Malva and the Loiva picked the third dayan. Divrei Rav Meir, the Chachamim said the two dayanim picked the third dayan. Says the Gemara, Nei Rabbi Damar Rav Komifligi Damar Rabbi Damar Rav Ein Edim Chayis Malashtar Elam Ken Yoidim Mi Chayisem Imahem.
Rav Yehuda Marav said that an aide is not supposed to sign on a shtar unless he knows who else is signing with him. And if that's the case, then we should apply that to being a dayan as well. That a person shouldn't be a dayan unless he knows who the other dayanim are. So a mayor who said that the two balei dinim get to pick the third dayan, meaning the dayan himself doesn't pick the third dayan, less like Rav Yehuda Marav. He didn't hold like Rav Yehuda Marav. He didn't think it's a big deal to be a aide on a shtar if you don't know who the aidim are, and it's not a big deal to be a dayan in a court case if you don't know who the other dayanim are. For Rabbanan, this is Rabbi Yehuda Marav, and the Rabbanan who said that no, you need the dayanim to pick the third dayan because there's an idea of not to be a dayan unless you know who the other dayanim are. But the Marav says like, Kuliyam, this is Rabbi Yehuda Marav. It could be everybody holds like Yehuda Marav. The dasa dayanim, Kuliyam, le pligi debinan. Everybody agrees that you really need the dasa dayanim. Ki pligi, what's the machloik is das bali dinim. Do you also need the dasa the bali dinim? Rameir, Sav Rameir holds das bali dinim nami binim. Also need the das of the balei dinim, and that's why Rameir said v'shneim boirin lemoidecha, that it's true that the dayanim have to agree, like you chachamim say. I'm just adding to what you said. Not only did the dayanim have to be okay with the third dayan, because there's an idea of ein edim chosmin al ashtar elam ken yoidim yichosim iman, and a dayan shouldn't be a dayan in a bezdin unless he knows who the other fellow dayanim are. But in addition to that, das balei dinim, you also need rabbanon savid rabbanon hold das dayanim beinam. You need the das dayanim, das balei dinim loy beinam. So before we wrap up this gemara, just again, we said that we'd go back to the Mishnah. We didn't touch the Mishnah when we read it. We said we'd go back to explain it. So now we understand the Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah again. Dinei Mominus B'Shleisha. The first halacha of the Masechta was Dinei Mominus B'Shleisha. What's Dinei Mominus B'Zeidois Halvois? What's the, how do you come to three dayanim? How do you make up the bezdin? Zebar leyachad, the malva picks one dayan. The zebar leyachad, and the loiva picks one dayan. So far, everyone's in agreement. Vishneim bar leyachad, says Rameh. The two dayanim, even though it's not mefurish in the Mishnah, have to agree. They have to be comfortable who the third dayan is. But in addition to that, shnehem bayerlem oidechad. The two bali din and the malva the leva also have to be in agreement with who the third dayan is. The chachamim say shnei dayanim bayerlem oidechad. You don't need the two bali din to be comfortable with who the third dayan is. Once each one of the bali din pick a dayan, they can go home. They can wait until they have a trial date set. They're done. Who picks the third dayan? That the dayanim deal amongst themselves. They're the ones, they pick the third dayan. Gufa, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. So we just mentioned the halacha, Ein Edom Chosman al Ashtar, that there was some sort of minhag that Edom would not sign on Ashtar unless they knew who else was signed on the Ashtar. Tanya Nami Hachi, Kach Hoyu Nikiye Hadash Abir Shlayim Oisim. This was the custom of this select, this elite group of people, called the Nekiyeh Hadas Sheb Yerushalayim. They wouldn't sign on a shtar unless they knew who the other signatures on the shtar were. They wouldn't sit. They wouldn't be on a bezdin unless they knew who the other dayanim were. They wouldn't enter a suda. They wouldn't even break bread if they didn't know who one of the participants in the suda were. So the Gemara says that this that was mentioned by Rabbi Yehuda Marav was really the minig of the Nekiyeh Hadash of Yerushalayim. So they wouldn't sign on a shtar unless they knew who the other edim were. They wouldn't be a dayan on a bezdin unless they knew who the other dayanim were. And they wouldn't even break bread with people that they weren't comfortable with. What was the reason for this? Says Rashi, the reason is because if they don't know who the other person was, embarrassment may come about from this whole thing. You sign your name on a shtar. Three other people signed. You don't know who those other three people are. Later, you find out that one of those people were psulim, kraivim, psulim, gazlonim, rishayim, whatever. And as a result, the shtar now became possible. A rumor is going to spread that this shtar became possible. You know why it became possible? Because the edom apostle. I'm an aide. Now I'm a kosher. It's the other person that's apostle. I'm going to be embarrassed. It's going to reflect poorly on me. It's going to look like maybe I was the one that was apostle. So the Nekiyeh Hadash of Yerushalayim, they were careful. They wouldn't get involved in something that may one day lead them to a place where they can end up being embarrassed. The same thing was regarding Dayanim, and the same thing was regarding a Suda. They would not sit down at a Suda unless they knew exactly who they were sitting with. I saw the Shar Mitzion of Halacha brings from the Divrei Chayim, the Tzanzerov. He said that it could be if they knew the person that was sitting with was an Am Aretz, maybe they'd be okay sitting with him, because at least they know the guy's an Am Aretz. It was when they didn't know who he was. So He looks maybe like a shiny Eid, really as a buck amuritz, but they don't really know who he is. And being they don't know who he is, that's the person that can get you into trouble. So when you don't know who a person, if you know who he is, you know to be careful from him. You know not to engage him in conversation, you know not to tell him certain things. But if the problem is, when they don't know who they're sitting with, that's when there was a problem. But either way, a fascinating idea, that when a key hadas shabirusha lion, that were extremely careful before they sat down with people. So I'll tell you something somebody told me on Shabbos. And that is that, you know, we know the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. It was just very much in Yonah D'Yoyma. And the story of Kamsa Ubar Kamsa, there's a Yid, seems like some VIP. He makes some big Shiser event. Kamsa was supposed to be invited. Accidentally, Bar Kamsa was the one that showed up. He did not want Bar Kamsa there for all the money in the world. He ends up embarrassing Bar Kamsa. The Rabbanu was sitting there. Rabbanu didn't say anything. And this Bar Kamsa walks out. He says, I don't understand. The fact that this guy, the host, okay. But the Rabbanu were there. Like Michal Bei Rabbanu, they were okay with it. I don't understand. If the Rabbanu were okay with it, it must be they're fine with this. And that's what, it just infuriated him to the point that he went to the Romans. He said, Mardukhab Yudai. And this resulted in Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Marsha speaks that in Chedushi HaGodes, that of course, I mean, he doesn't say it like this, but I think it's common sense that even without the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, still would have been Chara. But really what the Chachamim are telling us is that if you want to understand the circumstances that led to Churban Beis HaMikdash, take the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Hafeichba the Kulaba, analyze it as much as possible, because in this story is the microcosm of what ultimately resulted in, like Rabbi Yochanan said, "An v'sunusha yishrob schari ben afkilos." There's so much you can take from here. Says the Marsha that this that you find the Rabbanim were there and they let this host just get away with embarrassing Bar Kamsa. They didn't say anything. It's because the midah of chanufa, which is something that we're going to learn about in tomorrow's daf, the midah of chanufa was pervasive in that generation. There were a lot of chanfanim in that dar, and they were chanfaning this person. Really, what they were supposed to do is they should have stood up against them, but they didn't. They were intimidated by him. Maybe he was a big don't. Whatever the point is, they did not want to stand up to him. And he says, it's a Gemara really in Saitim and Malaf on the base, where the Gemara says that right around Surka, Churban by Yesheni, you find the mid of Hanifa was horrible. The Gemara says, Agrifas HaMelech was once reading from the Sefer Torah by Hakko right before the Churban, and he came to a pasuk that says that in order to be a Melech Yisrael, you have to be a full-fledged Yid. And Agrifas HaMelech came from Hurdis, he came from questionable descent. Achlik is Rashi Tosis there, what exactly his Zichas was. But he certainly wasn't fit to be Melech. I mean that he wasn't fit to be Melech. He started crying. Zog away with mice. And the Chachamim with it, they told him, Agrifas, don't worry about it. You're one of us. You're one of our brothers. Achenu Ata. Achenu Ata. And the Gemara said that the Chachamim there were over on the Issachan. What do you mean? Achenu, you know, he wasn't a brother. He really was not fit to be king. Why they tell him? Because he's the king. So imagine you're the king. You know, you want to be in his good side. You want to tell something nice. So that's what they told him. And Tosis over there quotes Yerushalmi that on that day people died. It was one of the worst days in Jewish history. So you see that there was the midah of Chanufa that was very, very prevalent in that dar. Says the Marsha, it's the same exact concept. You see that these Chachamim, they're Chanfonim, and they're Chanfening this house. But somebody told me something interesting, that the truth is, if you think about it, it could be the Rabbanu shouldn't have even been at that party. Because it doesn't sound like this host was a good guy. It sounds like he was a very bad guy. It sounds like he was a questionable person. And yesh la'ayin whether he even should have been there in the first place. And the truth is, if they were not there in the first place, this story never goes down. Again, because if they're not there, then Bar Kamsa doesn't see the Rabbanon being quiet, and if he doesn't see them being quiet, he doesn't feel like the Rabbanon are okay with it. The fact that this Shagitz feels it's okay, that's one thing. That wasn't his issue. His issue was that the Rabbanon were there. V'loy Michal. So maybe had they followed the minute of the Nekia Hadasha of Yerushalayim, that loy hayu nechnasim besuda elam ken yoyde b'meisa v'yimon, maybe based on the Churban Beis HaMikdash is prevented. The point is, it's not so posh. Either way, Zog. That who Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Interesting. Zog the Gemara weiter. So the net, we went through the first halacha of the Mishnah, now the second halacha of the Mishnah. Second halacha of the Mishnah was Zeh Poysel Dayanish Hazeh, Vzeh Poysel Dayanish Hazeh. So we just explained the first idea of Zeh Boyer Lech, Vzeh Boyer Lech. The Malva picks a dayan, the Loiva picks a dayan, and then somehow together we're going to figure out a way to come up with the third dayan. Zeh Poysel Dayanish Hazeh, Vzeh Poysel Dayanish Hazeh. What does it sound like? It sounds like the Loiva could say that your dayan is possible, and the Malva could say your dayan is possible. Freit, the Gemara Kol committed the possible dayanim. Does that make sense? You could just recklessly go and possible dayanim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Bar Kois Shebesur Yoshanu." We're not talking about ordinary dayanim.
Same like we said earlier. If we're talking about earlier, regular dayanim, dayanim mumchin, you can't just go and disqualify a dayan mumcha. But rather, we're talking about Arkoish HaBesurya. These were judges that were yidden, but they didn't follow Dinei Torah. Being that they didn't follow Dinei Torah, they have a right to go and say that I think your dayan might be possible. Abba Mumchin says the Gemara, look, Amid Diktani Seifa. What did the Seifa say? The Chachamim Moim and the Chachamim argued, right? The Chachamim said that you can't just go and frivolously passel someone else's dying. When can you passel? If you bring a raya that is a carver or a passel, then you could. But if he was a kosher or if he was a mumcha, then what was the halacha? In that case, you don't have a right to passel. Says the Gemara, Michal Rameyer, mumcha nami kamar. It sounds like Rameyer is okay with a mumcha, because if he's not a kosher or a mumcha, even the Rabbanan Amoydi, you could passel. When are they arguing if he's a kosher or if he's a mumcha? According to a mayor, Zeb Poisel Tayanish, Zeb Poisel Tayanish, Zeb. According to the Chachamim, you can't. So what do you see then? They're arguing by kosher and mumcha, so even by mumcha. So how could you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan said, Bar Koyesh HaBesur Yeshanu, that when Rameir said, Zeb Poisel Tayanish, Zeb, it means only if it was our Koyesh HaBesur Yeh. From the Mishnah, it's very mashma that they're arguing by ksherim or mumchim. The Gemara says, no, hachi kamar. Avalim hayu ksherim nasu kemumchim ibi bezven yachal ofles. By mumchim, everybody agrees he can't pass. And if they're real kreivim upsulim, everybody agrees you could pass. They're arguing where he was a kosher, but he wasn't a mumcha. Such as, he's a dayan, as far as we know he's kosher. He sits on their koyesh abesuryo. Again, he's a kosher, but he's not a mumcha. According to Rameyer, zeh poisel. According to the Chachamim, he can't poisel. What did the Chachamim mean when they threw in the word mumcha? What they meant to say was, atlam hayuk sheirim, not oy mumchim. Avalam hayuk sheirim, nasu kim mumchim. They told Rameir, "Loi kol hemnu shepoisel dayin shemumcha l'rab." A brisa where Rameir and the Chachamim are talking. So the Chachamim told Rameir, "You think it's just a hefkevelt? You can go ahead and you can passel a dayin that's a mumcha." So what does it sound like from there? The Rameir holds you could passel a dayin that's a mumcha. So the Gemara, "Ema loi kol hemnu shepoisel dayin shemchu rab malim." A little bit of a teichik, not mumcha, but really in the verb. Himchu, a dayan that people took upon themselves to be a dayan, as long as he's kosher, even if he's not a mumcha, loy kol hemnu, you don't have a right to go ahead and passel him. Tanya nami hachi loylam poysel v'hoylech achi kabel olav bezin shemumcha l'rabim divi rameyer. In fact, there's a brisa mefurish like Rabbi Yochanan. The brisa said that according to Rameyer, you could always passel dayanu shalzeh unless achi kabel olav bezin. Once he's a mumcha, at that point you don't have a right anymore to passel him. So when Rameir says that poisel dayanu shalzeh, what does he mean? He means our koyesh abesurya, where the dayan was kosher, but he wasn't a mumcha. Because if he would be a mumcha, you would not have a right to do it. Frank the Gemara Akash. The same exact machloikis that we had in the Mishnah regarding the malva passeling one of the dayanim, or the loiva passing one of the dayanim, we had regarding the Eidim, the third case in the Mishnah. Zeh poisel Eidov shalzeh, v'zeh poisel Eidov shalzeh, divi Rameir, v'chachamim oimrim, emasai b'zman shem evi aleim rayash en krevim oipsu, avlam hayuk sheirim, eni yachal lefoisim. Says the Gemara, when you talk about Eidim, there's no concept of a kosher and a mumcha. All Eidim that are kosher are the equivalent thereof of mumchim. There's no such thing as I'm an aid, kosher, but I'm not a mumcha. When you're dealing with dayanim, there's different levels. So you could be a dayan kosher. I'm kosher to sit on Erkoish HaBesurya, but I'm not a mumcha. I can't pass Kandine Knossos, I can't enforce Malkus. There's a concept of a kosher and a mumcha. But an aid, either you're kosher or you're pasul. Sfreik the Gemara, va'edim kemumchim dami, an aid kosher. Who's the equivalent of a dayan mumcha? Vam Rameir, Rameir says, zeh poisel eidim shalzeh, zeh poisel eidim shalzeh. So if Rameir holds that you can pasul an eid kosher, that means l'chura, you can passel a dayan mumcha. So that when Rameir says that poisel eidim shalzeh meant even a mumcha, it's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, really it's a kasha on this tanya nami hachi. So the Gemara, you're right. If you would take the Mishnah at face value, you'd have an excellent point. But itmar Allah amar Reish Lakish said, peh kodesh yoy medavazeh. Is it possible that Rameir, who was a peh kodesh, would have said something like this? Think about it for a second. The Malvik walks into Bez and I have two Edom that say that I loaned Shimon money. Shimon, the Leiva, says, nah, you're dying as possible. Your aid is possible. I don't trust him. What do you mean? You have a Raya that he's a Rasha? No. You know he's a Kariv? No. But I don't like him. I'm not comfortable with him. It'd be the Wild West. That's Anarchy 101. So there's no way in the world you could go ahead and do something like that. So Reish Lakish said, Pek Hodesh, Rameir would have said something like that. So what then did Rameir mean? Tni Edoi. Change the gersa. Not poisel eidov shalzeh,
but rather a doishal zeh. How does that help us? Let's see. Lemai. Does it mean le mamin? Meaning this is a case of hoydois valvois. Dine mominus bishloisha. And in the context of mominus, the malva brought an aid echad, one aid that proves that witnessed the fact that he loaned the loiva money. And now the loiva says, I don't trust your aid echad, I want to passel him. Rachman apostle, you don't need the loiva to passel him. Aid echad anyways doesn't work. Al pishnai made him yakum davar. Yeah, anyways, to ila shvua, maybe what we're talking about is not that the aid echad is coming to be mechayev mamon, but the aid echad is coming to be mechayev shvua. We know one of the three people that swear shvua de raisa is shvua aid echad. So if Reuven goes up to Shimon and he says, you owe me $100, and he has two aidim, he owes him $100. If he has an aid echad, he doesn't owe him $100. But at the same time, he does have to swear shvua deraisa that he doesn't owe him $100. So maybe that's the case. The case is where the malva came with an eid echad, and he doesn't want to be mechayev a mamon because he can't. He just wants to be mechayev im shvua, and that's where Ameir said that poisel eidim shozeh. But the Gemara says, are you accomplishing anything? Because ila shvua hemune mehemin kibetrei, the eid echad is believed like two eidim. So what exactly the Rish Lakish gain by saying tini eidai? Zakti gemar la'olam the mum. Really, we're talking about mum, meaning the malva came with an eid echad, and the malva has an eid echad that says that he loaned the money. And ordinarily, an eid echad is not going to be believed. Loitzricha the kabli le kibetrei. But the case is where the malva the loiva agreed that if this eid echad walks into Bezdin, or if any eid echad walks into Bezdin, we're going to accept the eid echad as if he's two eidim. And now the loiva has remorse. He wants to back out. And he's poisel eid of shalzeh. Now he's being poisel eid of shalzeh. He's telling him that I know I agreed originally that if an eid echad says that I owe you money, I'll pay you the money. But I changed my mind. There's no way in the world I'm going to pay you based on an eid echad. I have rights based on the Torah that I shouldn't have to pay you unless you can prove your case with two eidim. You only have an eid echad. I'm not interested. And that's the case of the Mishnah where Rameir says zeh poisel eid of shalzeh v'zeh poisel eid of shalzeh. So the Gemara says it could be that this is the machlokes. I mean, it's not a case where you're just frivolously going ahead and you're being poisel eid of shalzeh. It's a case where it's an eid echad. Really, an echad anyway shouldn't be believed. You accepted whatever the eid echad says as if it's two eidim, and now you're backing out. Says the Gemara, the truth is, the next Mishnah on Chavdal and Rav, we're going to have a very similar case. We're going to have a case where two people say that I'll accept your father, let's say, as being the dayan. Even though Dina Mamun is B'Shleisha, I'll accept him as an eid echad. Or Shleisha Roye Bakr, three people that don't really know much about halacha. We'll accept whatever they say. Machlokes remain the Chacham, whether you can back out or whether you can't back out. According to Rameir, you can back out. According to the Chacham, you can't back out. So at first glance, this would be L'shita Sayo. This machlokes right here is the same machlokes that we have over there. Could you back out of such a situation? Or could you not back out? Rameir says that poisel eid of shalzeh. Originally you accepted the eid echad as if he's two. Now you want to back out, you have a right to back out. Whereas the chachamim say that you can't be poisel eid of shalzeh, you can't back out. And it's very geschmack. It's Rameir and the chachamim l'shitasai in the Mishnah Daf Chavdal and Manal. But the Gemara asks it in the reverse. My komash when the matzi hadabe, you tell me Pshana Rameir is that you can back out, Tonino, it's a Mishnah later. Amalai, Nemanalai Abba, Nemanalai Avicho, Nemanalai Gimel Rei Bakr. That's the Mishnah we just referenced. Rameir says Yachalach Sabai. The Chachamim says any Yachalach Sabai. Vam Ravdimi, Braid Rav Nachman, Braid Rav Yosef. Ravdimi, Braid Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef said, you're going to Kabli Oleo, Bechat. Taisus doesn't understand why the Gemara quotes Rav Dimi. We'll need that in tomorrow's daf. But Rav Dimi said that this halacha that Rameir holds Yochel Achzar is even if you didn't accept three pasul dayanim, even if you only accept one pasul dayan. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, I hear Rish Lakish's kash. Rish Lakish said, Pek Kodesh Yehme Dover Zeh. The Loiva could just tell the Malva, I think your eight is pasul without proving his case, and we're going to knock the eight out. It doesn't make any sense. So what did Rish Lakish say? Kni Eidoi. You're not passing two, you're passing one eid. The Gemara says, Madavshach. Is the eid trying to be Mechayev Mamin? Rachmana passed. The Torah said he's passed. Is the eid trying to be Mechayev Shvua? Eid could be Mechayev Shvua. So it's the same kasha. Pek Kodesh Yehme Dover Zeh. Why should the Leiva be able to knock out the eid echad Mechayev Shvua of the Malva? So the Gemara is talking about where the echad is being Mechayev Mamin. And ordinarily, an eid echad, anyways, is possible to be Mechayev Mamin. But in this case, Kavli Olah. They took it upon themselves that whatever the eid echad, and Rameir Lishitasai, who said in the next Mishnah, that if I accept the apostle,
Yochel Achzor, he holds over here that Paisel Eidav Sholzeh. Essentially, what he's doing is he's being Chayzer, whereas the Chachamim that hold any Yochel Achzor, they hold you can't pass the Dayan Shazab. But the Gemara's kasha was, Hotonino Chadazimna, I have the next Mishnah, why do I need it twice? So the Gemara says, Srichoditana Abavavicha, because I only had the next Mishnah, I would have thought, Bahakami Rabban, like Masi Hadabek. Over there, the Rabban said, you can't be Chayzer. From the Abavavicha Chazul Alma, it's because if, let's say, the two Balidinim say, will accept your father as one of the Dayanim. My father's one of the Dayanim. My father, your father are kosher Dayanim. They're just not kosher if I'm one of the Bali Dinim, because to me they're a Karev. But really they're kosher. So it could be it's over there that the Rabbanan said you can't be Chayzer, because the Dayan, although he's puzzled for this court case, but he's someone that in a vacuum is a Dayan kosher. So being that in a vacuum is a Dayan kosher, maybe then you can't be Chayzer. But in our case, where you're accepting an Eid Echad like two Eidim, the La'almo, where he's never considered kosher, I would think that it's never going to be okay. That you could always be chayzer. And had we only had ours, I would think maybe Rameir said only over here you could be chayzer. Over there, maybe the Meir would be moedel rabbanon. You can't be chayzer again because there the eid is someone that really is a kosher. So the Gemara said tzricha. It's for that reason there's a tzricha. So, but why did we mention Reish Lakish? The reason we mentioned Reish Lakish was is because we said that when Rameir says that poysel dayanu shalzev, that poysel dayanu shalzev, it doesn't mean even a dayan mumcha. It only means like our like Rabbi Yechanan said. But a Dayan Mumcha you can't passel, because it doesn't make sense. Kol Kamine, that was the Gemara's Kasha. How could you passel a Dayan Mumcha? The Gemara's Kasha was, but you see that Paisel Eidav Shozev is that Paisel Eidav Shozev, and an Eid Kosher is like a Dayan Mumcha. So you see, you could. What's the Teretz? The Teretz is, Rameir never said you could just passel Eidav Shozev. Peh Kodesh Yehmedavrezeh. What did he mean? He meant when there's an Eid Echa that you are Mekabo like two, and now you want to be Chayzer. Rameir Lushitase, who holds you could always be Chayzer. That's Pshad in this Rameir, there's that place of Eidav Shozev. But to really disqualify him, of course you can. And by extension, if you have a real Dayan who's a Mumcha, there's no way you'd be able to knock him out. But the Gemara has a problem with what Rameir said. So drop more Gemara. Hamid Diktani Reisha Dayan. The Sefer Edov Alma Davka Ktani. Reish Lakish edited the Mishnah. That what does the Mishnah mean when it says that person Edov Shalzeh? It's not Edov, but Tni Edov. Eid Echad. We're passing only an Eid Echad. Freit the Gemara. I understand sometimes you can edit words in a Mishnah. Not Edov, Edov. The problem this Mishnah it's very Daichik. Because the second case of the Mishnah was that person Dayanoi. Talking about one Dayan. And the next case is that person Edov. We're talking about two Edim. So, to think that the Tana made a mistake and wrote a dove instead of a doi, when it somehow knew to write dayonoi in the previous case, the contrast just makes it seem very fishy. It just seems very suspicious. It looks very much like dayonoi, that's the second case of the Mishnah, and a dove, that's the third case of the Mishnah. Midi tani reisha dayonoi, v'seifa a dove, alma dafguk tani, am Rabbi Loza. So because of this, Rabbi Loza said another pshat. You know pshat of Rameir? Pet kodesh yim adover zeh? How could the Leiva just go and passel the Malvas Dayanim? It's Bebahu Ve'achal Apoyslam. It's talking about where he's not just passeling him by himself. He's really coming with somebody else. He has another aid, and he's really passeling him. He's saying that he's really, really passel. So the Leiva is an aid echad, and he has another aid echad along with him, disqualifying the aidim that the Malva brought. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't help us, because Kol Kimini Negebe Dusayu. He shouldn't be believed. Isn't the Leiva Negev Eidos? Is he Negev Eidos to say that the Malva is Eidim Apostle? Because if the Malva is Eidim Apostle, the Malva doesn't have Eidim that the Leiva owes him money, so he's going to walk out profiting from this. So isn't he Negev Eidos? It's talking about a case where he's not just saying in the Veltarain that he's Apostle, he's proving it. He's proving that he's a Gazlan, meaning he saw him steal. He's right in Negev Eidos. Says the Gemara, Elo Irid Pekamish. The error was, he said, not only is this a apostle, he said his whole family is apostle. He said he's an Eved, for example. And his father was an Eved, his Eda was an Eved. Why does that help anything? So if the Leiva comes with another aid, and he wants to disqualify the Ede Malva, by saying this Pgam Mishpacha, that somehow makes him not an Negev Be'edos, at the end of the day, he's an Negev Be'edos, because if we disqualify the Edom of the Malva, then the Leiva is going to win. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Rameir Savra, Rameir holds a lumbus. Hani Amishpacha Kamisadi. These Edom are really not saying Edos only on this Eid, or on these Edim. He's saying Edos on the Ganse Mishpacha, the Iyum Memeluk Apostle. And he's just becoming apostle Memeluk. Rabbanon Tzavi, the Rabbanon holds, Soif, Soif, Negev Be'edos. At the end of the day, he's really a Negev Be'edos. In other words, Rameir is saying that if you go and you apostle an entire family. And by derivative, this particular aid is going to be possible. It doesn't render me in a Geva Eidus. Even though it's in my interest for this aid to be possible, but I'm not focusing my Eidus on him per se. I'm focusing it on the entire family. It's only b'memela that this aid became possible. Rabbanan say, who cares? At the end of the day, you're saying Eidus that affects you in a positive way. That's Negeva Eidus. According to Rabbanan, similar to the concept you have, like, by Ein Ocha Mamon Achat Roiv. You can't go by Mamon Achat Roiv. But if the Roiv is not Machriya the Mamon, it's Machriya something more general. And Agav Urchi, Mammon will be affected as well. Maybe that's not enoch. You find this yisoid in many halachas, many sugyas. But the bottom line is, so we had over here a kasha, where a Meir said in the end of the Mishnah, Zeh poisav edov shozeh. And Rish Lakish said, Pek Kaddish yeh medover zeh. Is it possible that a Pek Kaddish would have said something like this? There's no way in the world a Meir would have said, you could just frivolously go out and apostle someone else's eid. So we had two terutzim. The first terutz is, it's not edov, but rather it's edoi. It's talking about where originally the loiva had taken upon himself that if the malva brings an eid echad, he will accept what the eid echad says as if he was to aid him. And now he backed out. That's the halacha. Ramei holds you can back out. Zeh poisav edov shozeh. It's Ramei l'shitasa in the Mishnah daf chavdal. No, the Gemara said, why you need both Mishnahs? But the point is that it's not a regular classic, I'm just knocking out your eid. You anyways only have an eid echad, and your whole eid echad only has a koyach, because I agree to it. I don't agree to it anymore. Rameya holds yachal lachsa. Second shot the Gemara says, he's talking about where he's not just passeling him. He's actually saying eidus, that he's a real apostle. He said the eidus with somebody else. Rameya is saying a chiddush. Rameya is saying that even though you would have thought I'm an egeba eidus, so if I'm an egeba eidus, I should be apostle eidus, being that the eidus that he said doesn't just affect this eid, it affects the entire family. The iu memela, it's just the memela that he's kapasel. It's for that reason it doesn't bother me. So these are two pshatim I had to understand Rameya. And in the next stop, we're going to have another two pshatim I had to understand Rameya, and then another omid of agadat the Gemara coming up on the chavdal of Manal.